I'm Alastair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Having a gun don't make anyone gangster. So rapping about guns don't make you want to be gangster.
Can you imagine if a suburban Eminem lookalike took over hip-hop with fake gangster credentials and guns as props? Well, if you were around in 2015, you'll remember the moment that Slim Jesus arrived on the scene. Video after video, he was going viral on Worldstar at will, and he was even courted by major labels, as they truly believed that he could be right alongside Chief Keef and G Herbo as one of drill music's biggest stars. But as it turned out, he bit off more than he can chew, and after one fateful YouTube upload, everything that he had built began to crumble into pieces, and soon he was being chased off stage and laughed at by the entire culture. Raised by a single mother, Slim Jesus lived a pretty ordinary life in Hamilton, Ohio before he'd reach worldwide fame. A longtime lover of hip-hop, Slim's music career began while he was working at a grocery store. In between shifts stacking shelves, Slim, real name Robert Church, began uploading music to SoundCloud and YouTube. At some point, he must have had second thoughts because these tracks would eventually be deleted. But when he returned, Slim had struck gold in the most unexpected of ways. As an avid fan of rap, Slim was up on the new wave of drill, making his way over from Chicago, and to him, it only seemed natural to make some himself.
That's just like, that's a lot of what I listen to, and you know, I'm influenced. I'm no way trying to, you know, steal their thing. Like, I'll give credit to Chicago. They created the drill movement. I listen to a lot of Chicago rappers, and that's just what I'm influenced by.
But in a decision that worked in the short term, but would go on to ruin him, Slim didn't put his own spin on drill. Instead, he emulated everything he saw, from the gun-toting imagery to the tales of hunting down ops in his lyrics. Armed with a Cocky Beats production, Slim created the song Drill Time, and within days of its release, he shook the world.
You can find me posted up on Frank Block with my fucking gang. You ain't really bout shit.
Whether it was the music itself or the shock value of seeing the skinny white dude that created the track, it didn't take long for the Worldstar video to become a must-see event. Straight away, people couldn't decide whether they loved or hated it. Talking like he was the Grim Reaper of an area that he referred to on the track as Frank Block, everyone was fascinated by it. Soon, he was being interviewed by outlets like Complex to discuss the overnight success of Drill Time. It got like 4,000 in one day, and that was crazy to me already. And now it has like hundreds of thousands. Today, it sits at over 62 million views on YouTube, which is astonishing for someone that was literally a nobody days before it dropped. Slim was the odd man out in drill, and in an era before 6ix9ine, Lil Mabu, Stitches, and other rappers who make a living off falsifying hood backgrounds, this was hard for hip-hop fans to process. Unsurprisingly, a lot of people just straight up clowned him, saying things like, if Slim Jesus walked in and slapped my girls.
I'm Alastair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
Ass, you better know I'ma stay looking at my feet. His ass looked like a grown Dewey from Malcolm in the Middle. For others, it was his resemblance to Mr. Marshall Mathers that was the most fascinating, with some people even speculating about whether or not he was Slim Shady's illegitimate child from a tour stop in Ohio, or claiming Slim was his retarded brother Skittles. To his credit, Slim knew that he wasn't in Shady's league and tried to downplay any of those comparisons.
The Eminem comparison is literally just because we're white. We don't make the same kind of music. I don't like rap the same. People stay talking about, man, has Eminem tweeted you yet? No, and that shit probably won't happen because we're on completely different like bars. I'm not lyrical, I'm ignorant.
Considering he was the white guy doing drill music, it's no surprise that some artists saw him as a culture vulture, and soon after he had put the track out, another rapper from Chicago by the name of Lil Mouse jacked the song's beat to diss Slim Jesus for all of his tough talk. These days, niggas characters finna shoot a movie, pit a menace. You did a song with niggas from here, but real talk, they ain't no shit. Throughout this video, a recurring theme is real deal gangster rappers questioning Slim Jesus' authenticity. Because Slim was getting so much publicity at the time, it's not exactly shocking that dissing him gave Lil Mouse one of the most viewed tracks of his career. But according to Mouse, it wasn't meant to be for publicity. It was just letting Slim know that he can't play with gangsters and expect to get away with it.
This is just me stating facts, like, letting you know, like, that ain't something that we honor. Like, we don't joke about that. Like, we done lost homies over that shit. So, it just letting you know I'm staying facts.
Although some Chicago drill artists thought it was disrespectful, it wasn't all hate coming Slim Jesus' way. Unexpectedly, some real drill artists came forward to co-sign him, such as Lil Bibby, who said, "What they on with you, Slim? Why they dissing my youngin?" in response to people dissing him. While outside of Chicago, superstar DJ Diplo gave the rapper his seal of approval too, declaring that he was just at home with friends listening to Slim Jesus. As for the game, his stance was a little different. He was just concerned that if Slim was capping, then it might lead to some serious problems in his future. "I think that Slim Jesus either really be fucking killing, or he's gonna get his ass smoked. I worry about kids these days rapping about things they're not really about. Sometimes I think it's sad because lives can be lost while playing those games. Be careful, Slim Jesus." At this point, Slim was playing his hand perfectly. He made a diss track back to Lil Mouse, claiming he had bigger fish to fry. "Who the fuck is Lil Mouse, man? I got bigger fish to fry." Instead of making himself really visible and exposing himself as a suburban kid, he safeguarded his mystique and kept people wondering, was Slim Jesus really active like that? But this facade couldn't be kept up forever. And the first sign of his slipping came when he invited real drill rappers into his hood for the remix. "Stay me, I can't do that shit. Got a red dot with a ruler clip. That's 30 shots, show medulla, bitch. I'll be flexing hard." While Lil Mouse was busy dissing him, other...
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Podsafe the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
Rappers in the Chicago drill music scene, such as King Yella, P. Rico, and Killa Kells, saw a potential bag appearing alongside Slim for a new version of Drill Time, which debuted on Worldstar's YouTube channel. But when they got to Frank Block, that's when King Yella, a well-known Chicago drill rapper, first realized that Slim wasn't the person he portrayed himself as in his rhymes.
"It was not real at all. Everything, it was not real. So we had to figure out, we didn't want to shoot right here. It wasn't real. Like, how the fuck? I don't know how y'all finessed the camera to make it look like this was a real hood. Wasn't nothing going on."
Rather than expose him, King Yella kept the secret to himself, because by associating with him, he got a pretty big publicity boost. And soon, he wasn't the only drill rapper to use Slim like this, even if they denied it. 4 days after the remix to Drill Time dropped on Worldstar, Slim was still seen as such a hot commodity in the drill world that he was flown out to Chief Keef's album launch party. Despite being pictured together, Keef denied co-signing and acted like he was just another fan who came by. Clearly, Keef wanted to prove that he wasn't putting Slim on, because despite the huge number of views Drill Time generated, showing there was a financial benefit to collaborating with him, the streets wouldn't have it when there was still debate over if Slim was really about that life. But even with Sosa acting like he had nothing to do with it, academics told another story.
"Come on, bruh, you brought him out to your show. He probably didn't ask to come out to your show. You brought him out, right? You had him backstage. If you really didn't fuck with him, don't try to use him for his buzz. What probably was gonna happen, and I'm not saying Chief Keef probably set this up, maybe his record label, they probably brought dude out because if Slim Jesus did his first performance at a Chief Keef release party concert, it would make national news, right?"
Looking back, this really shows how much of a big deal Slim was at the time. Chief Keef was the man that brought drill music to the mainstream, with tracks like Don't Like and Love Sosa. But in 2015, his label thought that he could use the help of a scrawny kid from Ohio? It's almost insulting looking back at it. At the time, labels clearly saw Slim as a gateway for drill to reach white suburban kids. Adam 22 once pointed out that there was a brief moment where it looked like working with Slim could boost the profiles of rappers from the trenches.
It was a stimulus package, Slim Jesus stimulus package. It was for a little while. I mean, a lot of people kind of got whatever they needed to get out of that situation.
But this isn't a level of respect or consideration that Slim would have time to get used to, because in the space of one interview, everything would change. As I said earlier, Slim Jesus did a really good job of maintaining an air of mystery during the initial frenzy over drill time. However, he was about to slip up and do irreparable damage to his earning potential in the future. On September 30th, 2015, Slim Jesus appeared on Vlad TV for his first major on-camera interview. When asked about his gang ties by Vlad,
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
Slim lifted the lid on his whole persona, revealing that he was basically just a fan mimicking the music he loved, rather than the gangster kingpin of Hamilton that he portrayed himself as.
For the most part on the street shit, like, I mean, I know people and I've been, you know, in some situations, but I'm not like out here fucking killing people.
Do you have a criminal record at all?
Nah, I'm straight.
While most rappers would have tried to keep their image intact at all costs, Slim tossed this aside in a way that hip-hop hadn't seen before. As back when other rappers had been exposed for faking a hood image in the past, like Rick Ross's cosplay as a drug mogul, they normally still defended the lies. Instead, Slim fessed up, and in doing so, got the respect of some of the audience who heard enough fakery. This dude did what rappers should do. I'm not a killer, I'm a rapper. He's real about being fake. I gotta give him his props. He's a genius. He played the system, but in the months to come, it became real clear that he didn't play anyone other than himself. However, for the moment, Slim was still a big deal and everyone watched his big confession. To this day, it's still the sixth biggest interview in Vlad TV history. At first, it looked like Slim was handling the scandal pretty smoothly. He continued to rack up millions of views on tracks like Buck Buck and Facts. Plus, his collaborations with Worldstar on songs like Warning Shots and a remix of G Herbo's Who Run It were also getting decent views and positive reactions. But no matter what he tried, there was no replacement for the excitement that surrounded him during the days before the Vlad TV interview. And if you ask me, that's because the illusion was shattered for a generation of hip-hop fans who are still looking for authenticity from rappers, or at the very least, an attempt to keep up the image. Within 3 months of the interview, Slim was deemed to still be a big enough deal that he was invited back to Vlad TV for a follow-up. Rather than trying to double back, Slim clearly believed that he did the right thing.
I mean, for one, I just make music. Like, I don't really do this stuff, so obviously there's no point in lying about it. And also, lying about it is only gonna, like, bring me negative nonsense. It's not gonna, you know, bring anything positive in my view, so I just didn't see the point in lying about it, really.
But it looks like Slim might have needed some of that negative nonsense, because where the original interview was one of the biggest hits Vlad ever had, the follow-up still hasn't cracked a million views to this day. When it came to interest in Slim, it should have been obvious to everyone that it never revolved around his rapping ability. It was just the bizarre sight of a white dude making drill music and talking about smoking his ops. But with Slim letting the world know that he was basically just role-playing as a gangster, the novelty was gone, and so too was a lot of the interest in him. Still, back then, Slim was either oblivious that the fall was coming, or was just burying his concerns in the sand. Because of the way he was acting, you'd think that he was a made man, burning lucrative record contracts and hanging up on powerful figures in hip-hop.
Little fun fact a lot of y'all don't know.
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
I've been had offers from the same bullshit-ass labels that be signing y'all's favorite rappers. And you know how I feel about them? Fuck a label. We getting independent money, bitch.
Even if hip-hop fans had moved on, the industry was still left startled by the viewing figures on Drill Time and clearly thought there must be something there. Remember, this was in 2015, the same year that Fetty Wap went viral for his hit song Trap Queen and then suddenly had a number one album. At this time, things like this didn't just happen on a weekly basis. So, believing that he saw star power, Cash Money's own Birdman made a play for Slim, using King Yella as the mediator. And he claims that Slim literally hung up on Birdman.
Birdman wanted him on the phone. I got a whole conversation with Birdman right now. Thirsty for him. Slim Jesus hung up on the man in his face. Birdman tried to fly us out to LA.
This isn't even a joke. A phone call with him and King Yella actually leaked online where he made it clear how much he wanted Slim repping Cash Money.
Okay. I got the biggest artists in the world. We rotate that shit. Wayne, Drake, Nicki, we're the biggest shit pop. And I got the biggest system. And I just think that he got an opportunity with what's going on, and we come with the right song, I know this shit could be big.
Baby was really risking it all for Slim Jesus. To be fair to Birdman, the internet still didn't understand how short-lived viral fame could be back then. All that he and Slim too saw was the numbers racking up, and the rapper suddenly being a big enough star that he could headline a tour.
Like the first time we actually like did like a headline, like it was our show, it was crazy to me because I realized like I skipped so many steps. Like I jumped straight to like, we're getting paid to do like three songs right now, opposed to where people do like, they've got crazy amounts of music and they're, you know, just opening for people still.
Slim Jesus quickly experienced the perks of going viral, but he also learned a tough lesson. Most viral stars don't have a solid foundation to last in the spotlight, especially when they move away from what initially grabbed everyone's attention. Without that key element, both the media and fans lose interest, leaving little appeal in what you've got coming next.
Look, y'all, I want to talk about something real quick. The next time I do an interview, but the next time you see me out in public and want to come up and ask me questions, do not ask me about the same old motherfucking questions about some street shit. One, I've been asked about that shit like 300 times. Ask me something new. Two, what I do in my personal life, quite honestly, ain't none of y'all damn business. I know what you should be asking me about? Ask me about my music. Ask me about what projects I got coming soon.
Gradually, Slim was experiencing the transition into a meme, and it really didn't help when his status as a gangster took a further hit when he got punked on his first tour. During a show in Ontario, he got his mic snatched by a DJ known as Black Jesus, which was super embarrassing.
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
Real hip-hop, bitch.
Left standing there and incapable of doing anything about it, this was a real turning point for Slim because it made it clear just how vulnerable and sheltered he really was. And with that, the industry and his fellow MCs finally realized that he couldn't sustain this.
He might as well just give it up, man. Who gonna take him serious? Like, his own race not gonna take him serious because you doing our type of shit. You on this nigga shit. And if he trying to do what we doing, how the fuck is they gonna take him serious? He let people do shit like that. I
mean. Suddenly, those viewer figures kept plummeting. Some people tuned in to gawk at whatever gun he was holding this time around, but no one was sticking around to the point they were buying records or buying tickets for his shows. Although he initially co-signed him, Little Bibby later got to the heart of the issue in that the minute he opened his mouth, he destroyed the image that kept everyone tuning in.
I think the best thing he could have did was not say nothing. No interviews, no shit. Left everybody wondering. That's what he should have did, because that's what drew me into it. And I know once everybody found out, like, oh, he lied, you know, people don't respect that.
Whether it was stubbornness or just being delusional, Slim still maintained he did the right thing by revealing that all the thuggery was a lie.
Look, I'm gonna say it like this because I ain't gonna put too much on it, but that was like 2 years ago. I was like 18, had just got out of high school. I was just focused on nothing but recording music and shit. But that's like 2 years ago now. I mean, yeah, there's definitely some people that would still fuck with me, you know, but it's whatever. I had a job before I was 18. The rap shit took off and I ain't worked a day, you know, since then. I mean, I don't look at it as work because I love what I do.
Even if he needs to be commended for finding a way to make money as an independent artist, the way that people responded to his comments confirms that it was still a mistake, as now, he was stuck with a rep that he couldn't shake. And it really showed how he now was looked at as nothing but a joke, with users commenting things like, "For some reason, I can't watch this interview without laughing. There ain't no noise on that block but crickets." Just as you thought it couldn't get any worse for Slim, it did. In 2017, he released his mixtape, The Most Hated. Back when Slim first hit the scene, dropping a tape like this would have almost guaranteed coverage by big names like Pitchfork. But this time around, they just completely ignored the project. The only thing he did that year that got any kind of buzz was his remix to Tay K's The Race, which got a few million views. What you re-up on, I smoke that in a day. Burning fat was get them swishes on my face. But it wasn't enough to give him the kickstart he needed. Then when Slim dropped his first official solo album, Against All Odds, in 2019, the response was just as muted. Still, his social media channels showed the signs of what could have been and the impact he briefly made. Slim's 200,000 subscribers on YouTube and 20,000 monthly listeners on Spotify shows that there are still some people out there who would love to.
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
See another hit like Drill Time, but the likelihood of that lessens every year that he's been out of the spotlight. Reflecting on how his career unfolded, it's understandable as Slim Jesus feels a bit let down by the outcome. Although it wasn't something that was acceptable when he first exploded onto the scene, it's pretty common for rappers to let the mask slip, and there's a whole new generation of fans who seem to have no issue with a rapper making it up as they go along. Just look at someone like Lil Tecca, who felt so comfortable in lying about guns and living like a player that he admitted to it in his Genius video.
Having a gun don't make anyone gangster. So rapping about guns don't make you wanna be gangster. You just rapping about guns. Like I rap about fucking bitches and I have a whole girl. If you don't like what I'm talking about, go listen to someone else. It's that simple.
When Slim saw that, he was unsurprisingly pissed that he was basically chased out of the industry for less.
When I came out, my first interview, I said, look, I ain't out here trying to kill nobody. I'm here to make motherfucking music. Y'all motherfuckers try to crucify my ass. So my issue lies with y'all dumb motherfuckers, bro, that swear y'all hate my ass so much, bro. But I don't think y'all really know why the fuck you don't like me in the first place, bro. Deadass.
It's a strange legacy to have, but in 2023, accidentally normalizing cap rap is one of the biggest contributions to hip-hop. One user wrote, Slim Jesus was the first one and they killed his career. Now all rappers be using that intro, all guns are prop, and they still cool, shaking my head. Others compared his rise to the likes of a duo like the Island Boys. In fact, because of how the clout rap wave got so played out, we have reached the point where some people have gone full circle on Slim and actually respect how he put his cards on the table straight away. By telling the truth, Slim can go through his life with a clear conscience that he didn't build a career on a lie. But when it comes down to it, you gotta wonder if he really believes he did the right thing.
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.